Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
I want to encourage you, and we've got it plastered all over the new merch, the word hope, because even though we only have 43 or 42 days left in this year, hope is not a 2023 cliche. Hope is anchored in Jesus Christ. And so we want you to keep your hopes up. Hope that is found in Jesus will never wane. Hope that is found in Jesus will never let you down. And so I always want to keep hope in front of us. Faith, hope, and love. Those three are the greatest, and the greatest is love. As we jump into this series on being thankful, the 10% Club, we're going to go beyond just today, because Thanksgiving is not an event, it's a lifestyle. A Thursday in November is a great time for us to pause and to not do anything that day but to spend time with the gifts and the blessings and acknowledge God in front of people and with those that are closest to us, that if it had not been for the Lord on our side, we don't know where we would be. See, a lot of times we're quick to thank God for the house and the car and the bank account and all of those things, and we should. But I'm grateful that I'm not like I used to be. I'm grateful for His redeeming power. I'm grateful for His saving grace. I'm grateful for fresh mercy, sufficient grace. I'm grateful for His anointing. I'm grateful, church, that He's not done with me yet. He's not done with you yet, that there's still more living left to do. But this story, sometimes when we read it or we hear it preached, it is the miracle that takes the main spot, the main event of this story. Leprosy is something that is crazy when you see how it attacks and what it does to the physical body. And I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on leprosy, but leprosy is like cancer, but on the outside. It literally eats away ears and appendages and nose, and it disfigures, and it is, you thought COVID was something. Leprosy, they didn't want you in the house. If you got leprosy, you had to leave the house. You had to leave the city. You could not stay where you were. So this is so much more than a story, church, about healing. More than just a story on a miracle of health. But this is a miracle of thanksgiving and gratitude. Can I tell you that when you are thankful and when you show gratitude, whether it is to one another, but most importantly to God, anytime that you are thankful, it is a miracle. Because your flesh would like to tell you that everything you have is because of you. Your flesh would like to tell you the reason you have that car in the driveway is because you work so hard every day. But might I remind you, it is God who watched over us while we slumbered. It is God who kept our heart beating and our lungs filled with oxygen. It is God who woke us up this morning, because some people did not wake up. It is God who put our clothes on today. It is God who brought us into. I want to remind you that every time you say thank you, Jesus, it's a miracle, because you're not looking at yourself. You are looking at God. You are heaping praise on God. You are heaping gratitude on God. And remember this, if it wasn't for God, not you wouldn't own a car, you wouldn't be able to drive a car. You wouldn't be able to tie your shoes. You realize that last night you took thousands of breaths. Your heart beat thousands of times while you were in a state where you didn't even have to think about it. That is God who put that life in us. And so when we say, thank you, Jesus, when you see an altar full of people or back at your seat, you raise your hands, it is a miracle that you worship. It's a miracle that you show gratitude, because humanism would like all the fingers to point at you and tell you it's all you. You're the one who made that happen. You're the one who did the hard work. You're the one who put your blood, sweat, and tears in. But I want to remind you who gave you that blood, who gave you that sweat, and who gave you those tears. It's a miracle when we are full of thanksgiving and gratitude. We clearly see that there are two types of people in this story, two types of lepers. There are good lepers and there are bad lepers. We all know people who are going through hell, but do so with faith in their spirit, a smile on their face, and gratitude in their heart. I've watched my mom battle cancer now more than three times. I think it's four times. I've watched my dad have bad report after bad report. I've watched my brother. I've watched my children. I've watched my wife. I've watched all of these people closest to me battle these things. I watched young Brian, who's watching online as he heads back to San Antonio. I watched a 9-10-year-old kid have to fight and defeat cancer with God's help, but I never saw Brian out of sorts, and he could have been. I never heard him whine, and he could have, and we would have given him the space and grace to do it. But I love people who look at the bright side of things and say, well, I wish that hadn't happened, but at least I'm still alive to fight another day. So we all know people who in the midst of struggle can smile, can move forward. They're not down in the dumps, but we also know people who will find a reason to complain and run their mouth about anything and everything. The sun could be shining. It could be 75 degrees. They could have the greatest relationship that they've ever had, and they could have just won the lottery, and they're going to complain about paying taxes. I'm here to tell you, if I win the Powerball and I win $1 billion, I'm not going to complain about the $400 million I have to give to the government. I'm going to rejoice that I got $600 million. $60 million goes the living way, and the other $540 I get to do what I want to. I'm sorry. Mandy and I get to do what we want to with it. But we all know, I have a friend on Facebook, an acquaintance on Facebook, actually a client on Facebook, that when we were in this drought, she complained that it's too dry. It was too hot, 100 degrees. I can't stand this. I can't wait till it finally, that first cold front blows in. Can I tell you, and I'm not even kidding, that within 10 hours of that cold front that blew in on October, she was complaining that it was too cold. I don't like this wind. It's too cold. It's too wet. Always complaining about something. Can I encourage you, child of God? As a child of God, you don't have the right to complain anymore. You don't have the privilege to complain anymore. You say, no, that's just who I am. No, ma'am. No, sir. That's who you used to be. But you have been redeemed. You are reaching. You are a new creation. I'm preaching to myself because naturally I am pessimistic. I'm not only looking at the cup half full, I'm complaining there's nothing left in the refrigerator. Some of you are optimistic. The cup is half full, not half empty. But I want to encourage us as believers, we've got to crucify that spirit and live a life of thanksgiving and gratitude and thanking God for what he's done, thanking people for what they're pouring into our lives. I'm a month late, but I've got a stack of cards on my desk that are handwritten for birthday presents and pastor appreciation gifts that came in. I've got one for some Yeezys that a friend bought me, but I've also got one for donuts that somebody bought me, for a cake that somebody bought me. The fact that you would think about me, drive to HEB or Walmart and buy some, I'm grateful that I have people in my life that love me enough to do that. Never lose the art of gratitude. I hold the door open for people whether they want it or not. If they do not say thank you, I always say you're welcome no matter what. I'm teaching them to be gracious and to have gratitude. I didn't have to hold this door open for you, but it's a sign of respect. I don't know you, but I respect you enough to just open the door. It's the little things, and if you can't do the little things, you're probably not doing the big things. Here's the truth, church. If you're looking for a reason to complain, you will find one. However, if you're looking for a reason to praise, you will find one. And I'm not talking about different situations or circumstances. I'm talking about the same exact event. You can complain about it or you can praise about it. You say, prove that. You drive down the road that takes you to your home, and you're going to pass by five or six gas stations, and you're going to see that gas. See, y'all look at the gas and complain. Your boy's driving on diesel every day. So when I see it at $3.45 a gallon, which is what it was this morning, I've got two choices. Complain about it. blame this president, the last president, the next president. I can complain that inflation has gone up. I can do that. Or I can say, God, I'm grateful that I've got enough money that it doesn't matter if it goes to $5 a gallon. I'm still going to be able to fuel my vehicle and go where you want me to go, do what you want me to do. Say, well, Pastor, I'm going through a rough patch. I just got out of a relationship. You can complain about losing what you thought you had, or you could praise God that you got rid of the dead weight and that God has a him or a her in front of you that is going to be the biggest blessing of your life. You can say, well, it's too loud at Living Way, or you can praise God that you got ears to hear. You can complain about all the lights and the graphics and the wall, or you can say, God, I'm grateful that I've got eyes to see. There are so many things that you could complain about, but when you and I get an attitude of gratitude, when we start becoming part of the 10% club, it not only changes us, it changes those around us and changes our situation. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. There's a compliment or praise that is happening. You just have to choose which side you will be on. Philippians 2, verse 14. Do everything without complaining. You know what everything means in the Greek? Everything. Do everything. Let me talk to the kids under 18. Clean your room. Cut the grass. Take out the trash. Be home by curfew. Jaded. No, she is. She is. I just putting that out there. Let's talk to the spouses. Communicate with each other. Let them know when you're going to be late. Let them know what you're going. Let them know when your wife wants you to do something, you can complain or you can praise God that you've got a good thing. Because he who finds a wife finds a good thing. You could complain about your husband, or you could praise God that he has sent you somebody to help you in life and to be your spouse and your partner every day of your life. Can I talk to somebody? Singles, praise God for the single season, because there's some things on the marriage side of things that you might not be ready for, but all the married folk in here should praise God that we found our good thing, so we're not by ourselves anymore and it's not like it used to be. Do not complain about anything, but do everything without complaining. For the married couples, and without arguing, so that no one, I like Paul's reasoning, but it seems too simple. It says do everything without complaining or arguing, so that no one can criticize you. You and I are the representatives of Jesus Christ. Let me break this down for everyone in the room and put some holy pressure on all of us. Some of us are the only Jesus the people in this world are ever going to see. We're the only Bible they're ever going to hear. We're the only witness that's ever going to testify to them. If you are the only word and the only Jesus they're ever going to see, can I encourage you and ask you the question, or challenge you rather and ask you the question, do you have enough Jesus? Are you showing enough Jesus in everything that you do, even considering complaining and arguing? Are you showing enough Jesus to get them to heaven? See, we've dumbed it down for people and just said, well, just invite them to church and we'll do the hard part. No, no, you can invite them to church, but take Jesus to them. Minister Jesus to them. They're lost. They might never show up here. And if they show up here, they might not make it past praise, worship, or they might never come to an altar. I'm here to encourage somebody. Your thanksgiving, the way that you live your life without complaining and without arguing, you don't give them a reason to criticize you or the God that you say you serve. The Bible goes on to say in verse 15, live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Church, you will never live one second on this earth and have nothing to be grateful for. If you're alive, there's something to thank God about. If you're breathing today, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. I don't know what you're going through, but in Jesus' name, I know that he's got something that he's done for you. The fact that you're still breathing today, the fact that you're in a church that believes in Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit today, the fact that you're not in some third world country, but you are parked in the greatest state and the greatest nation on the planet, it is a reason to thank God. Aren't you glad that you didn't sleep out under stars last night unless you wanted to? Aren't you glad that you had a McGriddle or something to eat on the way to church today? Aren't you glad that this building is heated and cooled? Aren't you glad that you're not sitting crisscross applesauce on the floor? I'm grateful for a lot of things. While you eat your Thanksgiving turkey this Thursday, consider this, 600 people will die in that hour of starvation. While you and I are literally eating that turkey leg, 600 people will die within that hour. On Thanksgiving Day, 12,000 people will die of starvation. 800 million people in this world have not had enough to eat in the last 24 hours. 800 million, that is one out of every 10. One out of every 10 babies born this week will die within the first week. 25% of those babies will never reach the age of 5. I now understand what it means to just be able to stand on this platform and say, thank you, Jesus, for all that you have done for me. Thank you, God, that somehow, some way, I was born in this country. I got here as quick as I could. Thank you that with the Republicans a mess and the Democrats a mess, I'm still grateful for all that you've done for me. I'm grateful that I have food in my pantry. I'm grateful that I have friends that love me. I'm grateful for all that you have done. I now understand how people must have felt when many years ago they watched Mother Teresa take from a trash can a baby that someone had discarded, believing it was dead. And when she picked the baby up out of the trash can, the baby started moving and making noise. And Mother Teresa said, "See, there is life in this." Most of the world is not dying. Man, this hit me so hard this week. Most of the world is not dying because of nuclear annihilation. They will not die because of wars. They will not die because of natural disasters. But thousands and millions will die whimpering in the night. T.S. Eliot famously said this haunting line, "This is the way the world ends for most people, with a whimper, not with a bang." We're worried about Jerusalem, Israel. We're worried about Palestine. We're worried about what Russia is doing. We're worried about what China is doing. We're worried about what is happening on Capitol Hill. And I am here to tell you that there are millions of people that will never even understand those issues, and those issues will never affect them because they can't worry about war of tomorrow or the next year because they're trying to get something to eat today. I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I'm thankful, church. Are you thankful? Can we all just jump up on our feet real quick for about 15 seconds, lift both hands in the air, and just say, thank you, Jesus. And then just start rattling some things off. God, I'm thankful for this church, God. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for friends. God, I'm thankful that I didn't go to bed hungry, God. I'm thankful, Lord, that I've got clean water to drink, God. I'm thankful, God, that I've got mobility of my limbs, God. I'm grateful, Lord, that I have, Lord, the faculties to make decisions, God. I'm thankful. We're thankful, Jesus. We're thankful, Jesus. You may be seated. Just for a couple more moments, I want to take us a little further before next week. There's good lepers and there's bad lepers. To be a good leper, you must be part of the 10% club. Good lepers are those who are healed and they never forget the disease they once had and what they went through. They remember how good clean feels compared to how dirty they were. Church, we've come a long way. Living Way's come a long way. You hear Bishop tell stories of Living Way back in the 70s and early 80s when they were having church. Rats the size of squirrels would be scampering across. You didn't know if somebody was yelling because of the Holy Spirit or because a rat had brushed their leg. We've come a long way, church. Look at what the Lord has done, and I'm thankful. years ago, and I don't think I've ever shared this publicly. I don't know if Bishop has either. Years ago, when the first building was they started in their living room. Mom and Dad started in the living room with six, and in one of their first buildings, I believe their mortgage or their lease was $260 a month back in the 80s. And my dad said that $260 might as well have been $25,000 a month. We scraped things together. Can I tell you that before we built this building, a builder and contractor came through here and offered us, I think it was $15 million for everything you see here. And Bishop said no. Said, what would it take? Bishop said, it'd take $100 million and you have to buy us 100 acres on 1604 for us to build. And the contractor said, no way. He said, that's... Check, check, check. Bishop said, he said, no way, that's crazy. Bishop said, you're the one who came to me. I didn't come to you. You asked me. We have all that God has given us. God is good. But let's take a look back at your life. Where were you 20 years ago? Some of us, where were we 20 weeks ago? Look at what God has done in your marriage that you thought was going to end in divorce. Look at what God has done in your children who are now serving. Maybe your child's running a camera, teaching Sunday school. Look at what God has done. Let us never be like the 90%. Let us always remember there's a God who has brought us a very, very long way. That we haven't always been this clean. We haven't always looked this good. We haven't always had this mind. We haven't always been able to do what we're doing. We haven't always been able to sleep through the night. We haven't always been able to get through the day without a substance. We haven't always been able to keep a relationship together. Look at what the Lord has done. I am part of the 10% club that I will never forget what He's done in my life. I'm thankful. And I know you are too. Thankful. Bad lepers, the 90%ers on the other hand, are those who have been healed but go on acting as if they never had the disease. The 90% of all the lepers in Luke 17 are ingrates. They're ungrateful, selfish, narcissistic, self-centered, egotistical, bad lepers pretending and living as if they have never met Jesus. How sad to have had a Jesus encounter, a Jesus moment, and then live like you've never met Him. Church, if you come to Living Way long enough, you're going to see some people that you only see them when all hell breaks loose. You'll see him when they get a bad report. You'll see him when she's locked him out of the house again. They'll come to the altar. They'll make a big grand show. I'm back. They're back until they're healed and clean. And then they leave as part of the 90%. Acting as if God did not just revolutionize their life in a moment. And they'll be gone for another 6 months, perhaps even 5 years, and then they'll open that door back and they'll come back down, they'll worship a little, but they're going to hit this altar and you know what I love about God is God will keep having them come back, keep touching, and I believe it's finally going to stick, but I don't want to be like the 90%. The 90% were healed, but we'll get there next week. There's something better than healed that God does for the leper that comes back. Can we be the 10% to say, God, because of what you've done in my life, because of how you found me, I'm not leaving, I'm not going anywhere. You couldn't run me out of here. You couldn't chase me away. I will be the one with a bullhorn in my life saying, look at what the Lord has done. Hey, Brandon, didn't you used to be addicted? Yes, I did. But look what the Lord has done. Hey, was there 5 steps that you did to quit? Nope. There was 12, 14 steps I took from my seat to an altar where I found Jesus. The 10% club. That's who we are. Man, what a change in your life. How did it happen? I'm talking about every good thing. You lost 50 pounds, you look great. What did you do? Oh, Jesus helped me. Jesus helped you lose weight? Yeah. He gave me discipline. Maybe I'm preaching to myself. I'll just talk right here. Man, didn't you used to roll with these guys and do this and do that and... What happened to those relationships? Jesus helped me. Jesus healed me. Jesus delivered me. Oh, yeah, they weren't good for me. God took them out of my life. And let me introduce you to my wife. The 10% Club never forgets. And they always testify. You know what I love about the leprosy healing? And I'll close with this. I love the leprosy healing because it's so visible. If I had leprosy and I disappeared from town and everybody knew I had leprosy, when I walked back into town, people would be shocked at the transformation. And they would say, "What happened to you?" The 90% would say, "Man, I got this antibacterial soap on Amazon. I washed myself and, man, it wasn't really leprosy. It was just some skin condition, but I'm back, y'all." But the 10% would say, "I met a man named Jesus. My marriage was taken from me. My kids were taken from me. They kicked me out of the city. I lost my job. I lost everything. And I met Jesus. And when I met Jesus, he healed me. On the outside, he healed me, but on the inside, he healed me. And he can do the same for you too." Well, I don't have leprosy. Oh, you don't have physical leprosy, but some of you have relationship leprosy. Some of us have spiritual leprosy. Some of us have mental leprosy. Whatever you are, whatever you need in this house today, I want to encourage you, Jesus is in the room. And you're part of the 10% Club, that you're not just here because it's Thanksgiving Sunday. You are here every day, every Sunday, some Wednesdays, giving praise to God. I want you to stand on your feet right now. All over this house, I want you to lift your hands. And I want you to just begin to say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, I love you. I'm so grateful. My heart is full of gratitude." Come on, don't stop now. He's done so much. The least we can do is spend the rest of this service in adoration, thanking him for what he's done. I want to open this altar for men and women. Maybe like the lepers, you've got something going on that is robbing you. Robbing you of the good things. More importantly, robbing you of the God things. If that's you, I want you to leave your seat. I want you to join us in this altar right now. And I want you to lift your hands and begin thanking Jesus. With gratitude, I want to tell you that God is moving. God is speaking. God is working. I want to remind you that God is not done with you, that God has not discarded you, that God has not pushed you to the back burner. God has been waiting on this moment right now. God has been waiting not on Thanksgiving the day, not on Thanksgiving the holiday. He's been waiting on Thanksgiving from believers. I'm part of the 10%, God. I'm part of the 10%. You've brought me so far, God. I've got so far to go. But God, I'm here to say thank you. In the middle of my prison, I'm going to say thank you. In the middle of drought, I'm going to say thank you. In the middle of the valley, I'm going to say thank you. In the middle of things that are not right, I'm going to say thank you. In the middle of divorce proceedings, I'm going to say thank you. In the middle of losing my job, I'm going to say thank you. In the moments of prodigals that plague the minds of parents, I'm going to say thank you. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you've yet to do. In the name of Jesus. I'm going to ask our pastoral team to get ready to anoint and pray for everyone in this altar. If you're at your seat and you want a touch from God, you can receive it at your seat, but we would love to connect with you in this altar. We would love to lay our hands and pray for you just like they did in the New Testament. We would love to be a part of your transformation and your miracle. If that's you, this is your moment. Ms. Tammy, if you'll begin to lay hands and anoint on this side, Mandy and Michael, if you'll begin to lay hands and anoint But I want to pull and make one big pull for somebody or somebodies. We're getting ready for Christmas. The coming of Jesus in a manger. But more than a manger, he came so that he could be born in your life. If you've never said yes, this is your day. This is your moment. November 19th, you'll never be the same again after saying yes to Jesus. Most churches don't do this anymore. They ask you to raise your hand and fill out a card. No, it's not about raising your hand and filling out a card. It's about confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart who Jesus said that he is, the Son of God, the Savior of this world. If that's you, join us in this altar. It's a heaven and hell decision. It's an eternal decision. It's a light and dark. It's a blessing and cursing decision. When you say yes to Jesus, it's not just for now, it's for eternity. We're ready to baptize in water. We're ready to get you filled with the Holy Spirit. Wednesday night, we'll continue with our Spirit-filled life series. But if you're in this house today and you need anything, if you got a bad report from the doctor, let's pray. If you got things going on in family, let's pray. You don't have to tell us what's going on. It can be unspoken. We'll just join our faith to yours. But as this team leads us in worship, if you're back at your seat, help us pray.